Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want you to know there are things that God has said that have offended me. But it's not because he was wrong. It's because it went against my natural tendencies. So the offense is there. And what we have to do is come his way and come into agreement with him about what needs to change in me so I can come his way, be in his way. But his intent is not to offend. His intent is to heal and restore. But you and I both know that sometimes in a healing process, there is a moment of discomfort to be restored. Right? That's what happens. And in his mercy and kindness and grace, he speaks forth words of life, words of help, words of rescue, words of truth, words that set us free. What happens on another level, because this follows the first two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and second is like unto that we should love people as we love ourselves. And so there's this vertical relationship first, and then this horizontal relationship that has to do with people. And what happens is, like the first is, if we feel offended by God, then we don't like the church. Or if the church has offended us, or someone in the church has hurt us, then we don't like the church, and sometimes we take that out on God, or we just tuck those things inside us, and we use it as a library of offenses from our perspective that gives us credibility not to go, or not to be with God, or not to be with God's people. It moves us into a place where we think we have special relationship with Jesus above other people. And the Bible talks about those things and the danger of those things. And so that may be something you've experienced before. Maybe that's something that you're going through. Maybe it's something you're processing. I want you to listen this morning to a few scripture verses. And one is in Psalm. It's the whole chapter. Now, don't get too nervous. This is a very short chapter. It's three verses. Okay? So Psalm 133. It says this. Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. Now, you and I, we know scripture references, but we don't know all the significance of those things. I'm not going to go into them this morning. I just want you to know that it's a really great thing. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. Now, I want you to be careful as you look at these verses where it says, for there the Lord bestows his blessing. It's not just Mount Zion or Hermon. You have to understand this in the context, and it's this, that it is good and pleasant where brothers live together in unity. In that place, there, is where God bestows his blessing, even life. What if we remove ourselves from that? What if we remove ourselves from that kind of gathering, that kind of unity, that kind of brotherhood based upon who God is and his principles? And that's the place where blessing is bestowed. What if we get offended or hurt and we remove ourselves from that? Or we use things to say, I'm not going to fellowship. I've been hurt, or I've been this. We remove ourselves from a place where God bestows his blessing, even life. I want you to know that none of us are above fellowship. None of us were ever created to be an island unto ourselves. I want you to know that's anti-God. That is anti-Christ. God speaks very directly about having a relationship with Him and about having a relationship with people. You see this in the very beginning. Ah, not good for man to be alone. Talks about it in the New Testament. We're going to go to some verses there in just a little bit. But I want to talk to you this morning about continuing to fellowship and spend time together. It doesn't mean that you exclude other people. It doesn't mean that we become ingrown and we have no regard for those who are not Christians. Obviously, we're called to share the gospel. We're called to love one another so that they would see that we're His disciples. All of those things in God, who He is about relationship. And it's about healthy relationship. And healthy relationship, let's get real homey here, right relationships within this room. Proverbs 27:17 says this, and you probably are familiar with this verse. It says, like iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you look in the study at some of the wording, it really says this, iron sharpens iron like one man sharpens another's countenance. You can look upon a person's countenance, and not that we know everything that goes on in their life. We're not always that perceptive, and certain things are hidden. We know that. We know that people can wear facades, but you can look upon a person's countenance, and you can tell if they feel edified, if they feel built up, if they feel encouraged, if they feel inspired. You can tell if they were just built up, right? You can tell if they've been beaten on all day long. You can tell. Certainly, iron sharpens iron like one man sharpens another. We know that it has to do with character. We know that it has a building virtue and becoming like more like Christ. But you have to understand, too, that part of that has to do with like iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another's countenance. If my children go out and do something and then they come home, I can tell what kind of time they had. They just come in the front door. Right? You can tell. Your spouse goes off to do whatever they do that day, and when you reconvene, you can tell what kind of day they had. You can know in advance that they were going off to a meeting. And when they come from that meeting, you can know if the meeting went well or if it went contrary. Because of the countenance. What type of countenance do we walk out with after fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ? Have we brought them some type of exhortation, some type of edification, some type of building up where they walk out and their countenance is better than when they came? Hebrews 10, it talks about this, and it's round about verse 23. It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some in the practice are doing. You have to understand that, you know, sometimes we get hurt or people get bothered by another Christian or whatever it is, and we think we can just go do church on our own. And we know that we're the living church, and wherever we are, that the Lord is present because He's in our life and we are the church. It's not just about a service. But it talks about it continuing to be together. This is not some man-made, formulated, controlling, manipulated thing by people. This is God's word that says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves and coming together. Don't stop that. Continue to do that, whether it is on the Sunday large scale, whether it's on the Wednesday midweek. You know, I'll just tell you once again, I really, really desire, as a pastor, for your sake, I wish that, you know, once again, that there were some studies throughout the week that were happening that we could make available to people. Because not everybody can make it on Wednesday. Some have shift work. Some can't make it every Sunday morning because of other life responsibilities. And there was a moment where they could fellowship with other believers. That's why inviting somebody out to coffee, having them to your home, going to Culver's, whatever it is so important. That is not non-church time. That's church time. That is the fellowshipping. That is the time where iron strikes iron and there is a countenance lifting and there is a provoking of one another back and forth to do right things, to do love, to do good deeds. Don't forsake getting together. In Jude, verse 18 and 19, it says, in the last days there will be scoffers who follow their own desires, and these will be people who will divide you. Remember Psalm 133, where we come together and there's a unity. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that you won't have a disagreement or that you might look at something differently. But that which is important, that you agree upon, that which you walk in unity, that you can be for example, in a board meeting or a deacon meeting of this church and have different perspectives around the table and different input, and some of it might disagree or be different than one another, but when the meeting is over, nobody's offended, nobody's walking out hurt, nobody is speaking against anybody else, and you all come out and say, this is what we've decided to do, then even that might be a little different than what I decided. I am with you, brothers, because we are unified. And that's where God's blessing rests. That if there's coming in, and it says in the last day there will be scoffers, or those who don't quite adhere to the truth, the pure gospel, the pure motives of God, that there will be those who come in and they will divide you. They will deter you. It's not always blatant. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's one we can call brother or sister. And they come and they divide. Because it says that they follow their instincts rather than following the Spirit of God or doing what the Spirit is doing. That they do not have the Spirit, but rather they follow their instincts. This happened a lot in the churches. It can happen a lot today in the church. It's why Paul wrote in another place, you know, who's bewitched you? That which you started in the Spirit, you're now doing in the flesh. They were once called brothers and sisters, and now they're following instinct or that which is natural rather than keeping in step with the Spirit. And yet it can try to wear God's name, and it brings a division to the brotherhood, to the sisterhood of Christ. So I want to just give you a couple of warnings, and I'm going to let you hear from a few people, and then I'm going to wrap up with a couple of thoughts. Beware of lone rangers. Beware of lone rangers. The other is, be aware if you yourself are isolated or alone. We all need alone time. Some of us are a little more social oriented than others. We understand that. But if that moves us outside of the fellowship with those in Christ, it becomes dangerous. What do predators do? Okay? Those who come to kill, steal, and destroy, what do? They begin to intimidate, feed you lies or pieces of truth that are not conclusive, and they begin to isolate us and move us away where we are alone. Alone. We see this principle at work in God's creation and nature. We see predators come in, they divide, they find one that's weak, sick, or alone. And that one becomes lunch. Now you can think yourself more strong than that. You can think you have this special identity or relationship with Christ that is above everyone else's and that God understands you. I want you to know that principle will still be at work. When it removes us from the fellowship. Do you understand how important God's church is? You, the people? Let's bring it to a little bit more of a home level again. Do you understand how important New Life Assembly of God Church is? You, the people, who God dwells in, who God speaks to. No, you're not perfect. No, you don't have a perfect pastor. We understand that. But God is in us, perfecting us, and we are pursuing Him. And when people come into this place, what you believe in your heart begins to change your conduct and your attitude and the way you treat people. And that your conduct and that comes forth from the heart makes a difference in this place. Samantha, I want you to come. I want you to tell a little bit about, well, recently what's happened, because that's just exciting, what God has brought forth it as a way of opportunity. But what it's meant to you to be in this church, how long you came here, and the impact or what the Lord has been doing. Okay? The reason I'm doing this is we're going to have a few people share this. Is these are the stories that I have privilege to hearing all the time, but maybe you don't always get to hear them. So I'm going to let you in on a few of conversations that I've had in real recent days. Okay? This is Samantha.
Good morning. First of all, I'm going to tell you I'm a crier, so don't let that worry you. We are... gracias. We are a military family. And so we were PCS'd up to Wisconsin from Oklahoma. So A, we were not used to the cold, and B, we were away from our family, and I left a really secure job, a good one. When we got up here, you know, I did the substitute teaching thing, and it was great. I liked it, but I'm thinking I want my own classroom, and I thought, well, you know, this is not what God wants for me right now. In the midst of all of that, we joined this church. I was raised Catholic. Enough said. So we came, and summer came, and it was time for me to get a job. Well, I got a job, like, for $8 an hour, and I didn't really like it. And I kept thinking, what do you want from me? You know, this is not what you put me to do. When I was substitute teaching, I kept thinking, you know, I have those realizations. And I remember the sermon that Pastor Randy shared about when you have that realization on what your purpose is in your life that God has sent you here to do, hold on to that. Well, time was ticking, and my grasp was slipping, and I just didn't think I was supposed to do that anymore. I thought, well, what am I going to do, you know? So then finally, I decided to just stay home with the kids, and I kept that relentless search for the job over and over the internet, application after application. I was running out of letters. I was running out of resumes. I was running out of things. And finally, I get this call, and it said, we want to interview you. And I thought, well, this is from Kentucky. And I thought, well, you know, do you do telephonic interviews? And they said, oh, yeah, we hire people all the time over the phone. So I said, okay, not a problem. Well, I had gone on 3 or 4 interviews and bombed them all, just bombed them. I was too nervous or, you know. So this one I really prayed about because I'm sorry, I don't like the snow. The people are great. I hate the snow. So then we went to, I went to the interview, and it was like God had put everything in my mouth to say that I was supposed to say. I didn't have to think about it. It just came out. It was just there. A few Sundays before that, I had come up to the altar, and I had, I'm falling in love with the sound of my own voice. I hope you're not. But I've come up to the altar, and at the time I was praying because my walk as a wife was not as well as it should have been. And so I was just praying to make me a better wife. And in the midst of that, I got a job. I lost 20 pounds. And I have a wonderful relationship with my husband. All because of what God does in this church through you. Thank you so much.
I want to introduce you to another couple who are newer to this church. I'm going to ask Curtis and Lisa if the two of you would come. They're from the area. I want you to know they drive every week, sometimes twice a week, from Viroqua to be here with you, with the Lord. And I just asked that the two of them would share a little bit about what it's meant to be here and what the Lord has done or the journey. And so I'm just going to let the two of you share. Who wants to? Go ahead, Curtis.
Well, I can attest that I have not lost 20 pounds. I'll keep praying about it. I look at Lisa and I's Christian walk, and it's kind of a Heinz 57 steak sauce thing. I'm from Southwest Iowa, grew up in a Nazarene church. She was born and raised in Viroqua and went to an independent Lutheran church out in the country. We're the same age. We both ended up in a Church of Christ Christian Church Bible College in Nebraska. Got married. Moved back and was in a Church of Christ. And then my job took us down the Quad Cities and worked in the Church of Christ down there. And God kept building in us and instilling things in us and growing. While we were down the Quad Cities, her dad became ill with a very rare disease. And God used that to heal him in a miraculous way. In a way to open our eyes that to the Christian walk of the Pentecostal, the Spirit of God, and through that we were both filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was actually filled with the Holy Spirit over the telephone with a pastor a couple hundred miles away, and so we got into a Pentecostal church, you know, and we grew and. And things changed, and we kind of went through a dry spell for, I don't know, 3 years, something like that. And we weren't in church. We visited churches all over this area. We were in Assembly of God Church in La Crosse, and nothing felt right, and we were home. Our relationship together, I think, grew stronger than ever through this time. Staying true to each other and to God, even though we weren't in the church that, like you were talking about, that God intends for us. But one Sunday, I just said, I go by this church all the time with work. I'm going to go. She goes, you go first. You be the spy to check it out. So I came.
That's right.
So I came, and I knew that first Sunday, this was it. I went home and I told Lisa. She came back with me. We've been here ever since. And I guess what I would say to all of you is, as you sit there, maybe you don't have a part in the service. Maybe you're not an usher. Maybe you're not a greeter. Maybe you're not on the worship team. Maybe you just come every Sunday. But corporately, what all of you do exudes so much love to people who come in for the first time or the 372nd time that just draws you in. And I encourage all of you to keep doing what you're doing. Don't change. You can grow, but don't. If you're coming and sitting in the pews, don't stop coming. Because with you gone, you might be that one piece of encouragement that somebody needs. You never know. But you all have been such a blessing to us. We were a dried up rock. I can say for myself, I won't say that for her, but I was a dried up rock, and you have softened me. You have brought back life to me that I didn't think I'd ever have, and given me more than I ever thought I could have again. And truly, the name of this church, New Life, fits this church perfectly.
He pretty much covered it. I mean, I don't really know what to say except that, she's going to make me cry. I was saved all my life, love the Lord God, but broken and hurt. You can put on a front, you know. Anybody can walk through that door, but be hurt. You don't know. They might look really good. They might come in looking hurt. We don't know. But, you know, I'd forgiven everything and everything was taken care of, but there was still the hurt and the brokenness. And Sunday after Sunday, the prayers, just feeling the hands and the prayers. And I just want to thank each one of you. I know I sent Pastor Randy an email that said if I could just thank everyone for the smiles, for just embracing us as we walk through the door. That's what we needed. And you don't know what people need. They might just need that when they walk through the door. And I want to thank each one of you. Thank you for the opportunity. I want to thank each one of you for that, for the smiles, for the handshakes. That's all it takes a lot of times to feel like, you know, God hasn't forgotten me. I am still part of his body.
True.
You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, I'm a foot hanging over here somewhere. You know, I don't fit. But I thank you for making us feel like we're a part of the body again.
Bless you. Sandy, would you do us a favor? Watch your glasses here. Colleen, would you bring her up here? You know what we talked a little bit about? You were just expressing appreciation for what you experienced here. Do you mind sharing that with all these people? Is that all right?
Yes.
Come on up here, sweetie. This is Sandy. We'll say hello. Thanks.
Where to begin?
Why don't you? You know, you and I had that little talk, and you just started to express about what it was like coming here, what this has meant to you, how you were treated. And just what how the Lord uses this body and the worship you experience, all those things that you talked about.
I don't think I've ever been in
a... Hold that a little closer for us. Thank you.
I don't think I've ever been in a church setting. I'm going to have to have one of you clear
this I'll get
too. that has accepted me as me. Because I am a little different. I may not be the stereotype, the body figure. I sometimes don't feel, in the past, I have never always felt accepted But I've never, ever had that here. It's from the day that I walked into this church. I felt accepted. I felt cared about. I felt loved. And this is something I must truly say I've never felt before. And it wasn't just a few people that I didn't know. It was everyone. And to have that feeling in itself has been quite an experience for me. From the time I was growing up until now, things were always a little different. As I imagine they are for everybody else, something's always just a little bit different. Thanks to Pastor Randy, who gave me the fortitude. He gave me something to go on for. I've been told that I had less than 6 months to live. But thanks to everybody here, it's not a concern. And I don't know why it shouldn't be. It's just not. I don't feel like I have 6 months to live. I feel I have my whole life, however that may be. Everybody's just been so wonderful to me.
You've done good. God bless you.
I can't thank everybody enough. You've all been there at times when the medical profession is saying, hey, you're lucky you got 6 months. And I can turn around now and I can say, I have as long as the good Lord gives me.
God bless you. We love you. Oh, sorry, Sandy. I didn't know you weren't done.
She's done.
Oh, I go.
Bless you. We love you.
I wanted to just say that I'm helping her a little bit.
Oh, yeah, and you are a lot. God bless you, Sandy, and you too, Colleen. Sandy, you got a lot more than 6 months. You got all eternity. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't get isolated. Beware of lone rangers who come to divide. I want to share this with you. Three things. Show yourself friendly. Be loving. Be a peacemaker. Proverbs 18:24, it talks about a friend that's closer than a brother. But showing yourself friendly. Maybe that's something new for you. Maybe you have been burned by people. You have been hurt by people all of your life. And you have grown up with all this history. I want you to know that true friendship is found in Jesus Christ alone. And when you respond to him and you begin to understand that he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, that we are on the journey to become like him, and the past is washed away, and we can remember the hurts, but we don't have to live under its influence. Show yourself friendly. Second, be loving, because it's how the world recognizes that we belong to him. Jesus said this in John chapter 13. He said, love one another. By doing this, all will know, all men will know that you are my disciples. Christianity calls us into relationship. Relationship with him, and relationship with each other, and relationship with people. Do not be an island unto yourself. And last, in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, let us make every effort, to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do what leads to peace and mutual edification, building one another up. It does not mean by following these principles that we don't recognize or admit adversity or difficulty. It doesn't mean that we try to be ignorant of it. We are aware of it, but we have been given in Jesus Christ himself and who he is and his word and his principles to overcome through him who loves us, through him who loves you. And as a living church, yes, we need to do many things, but continue to focus on showing yourself friendly. Be loving towards one another, because it is recognized by outsiders that they too could be drawn and have the opportunity to respond to Christ, the opportunity that you and I have responded to. And last, be a peacemaker. Do that which brings peace and mutual edification. These testimonies this morning, there are more than these. They are sitting in the pews this morning right next to you. This is why, one of some of the reasons why it is so important for you to continue to fellowship with one another Sundays, Wednesdays, other times during the week, in your homes, at restaurants, wherever it is. Because you are the living church, ready to give an answer at any moment for the hope that is within you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.